Welcome back. This is the Cricket Badger Radio Show. I'm James Bullock. I am your Cricket Badger, joined in the studio tonight by Miles Hodgson and Graham Harcastle, Yorkshire cricket journalists, the authors of Yorkshire, A Champion Year. We've been setting the world to rights, been listening to what they've got in the pages of that wonderful cricket book that you can buy everybody for Christmas, available on the Yorkshire website and... anywhere else?
The Yorkshire website.
Just to Yorkshire website, yeah. It's
YorkshireCCC.com.
Go and fill your boots there, and good present for your dad or your granddad for Christmas. And we've been talking about the players and that their kind of relative merits as we've gone through the summer. Two that did play a huge part, and probably, hopefully, will continue to do so in the future, Kane Williamson and Aaron Finch, the New Zealander and the Aussie, really, well... in their own relative ways, two of the best players in the world.
Yeah, I mean, there was a bit of a question mark about Finch's signing, wasn't there? Not particularly in 2020, but his first class stats were pretty ropey.
When you checked them, they were quite poor, weren't they? Really?
Yeah, they were pretty ropey before he came in, and you know, from kind of Williamson's solid performances, it was Finch could have kind of thrown the team into a bit of disarray, really, in terms of what he brought to the side. But I thought he was exceptional in Championship cricket. I mean, he played a couple of outstanding, world-class, memorable knocks in the 2020 against Lancashire at Old Trafford and Nottinghamshire at Headingley, the latter one proved to be fruitless in the end. But I thought he was superb in Championship cricket. I really did.
If you're going to announce yourself to the Yorkshire public, knocking it all over Old Trafford is not a bad way to start, is it?
No, exactly. I mean, those two sixes he hit at over to the point, I think, had they not hit the point, I think they might have landed in my back garden in Standish.
I would say there were two outstanding signings. What I would say about Finch is that you could almost argue... because I think he was bought primarily for one day cricket as opposed to Championship cricket, that they probably didn't get as much out of him as they'd hoped in one day cricket, other than those two T20 innings. Yeah. He didn't get as many runs as probably he would have liked either. But I think he did a very good job in Championship cricket, as Graham said. He was very good with the younger players we're here, and very good around the dressing room. You know, he's a bit larger than life on the field and off it. He lived life as he bats, put it that way.
any decent stories that come out of that for the book?
Yeah, there were two or three. On his second night in England, having come from the IPL, he had a night out with... We were actually in the same bar, weren't we?
There's a shock, yeah.
It was Yorkshire Lancashire in the Championship match at Headingley, and quite a few of the lads had arranged to have a drink with the Lancashire players. I think they actually get on reasonably well despite what happened at the end of the season, and they all went home, and Finch was staying in one of the block of flats near Headingley, and his key card, had his key card, and he had it in his back pocket, and he sat down or something like that and snapped his key card. So got home to try and get into his block of flats, couldn't, and it was warden controlled from somewhere in Leeds that, and I don't think they were on duty or something like that, and it ended up where Dizzy's wife had to get up at 11:30, 12 o'clock, something like that. Drive. I think they're Roundhay way. I think, and had to drive to Headingley to pick him up, and he slept on Dizzy's floor. He also went for a day at the races in between a 2020 match at Northampton and the Sussex game, the Sussex Championship game at Arundel. They had 3 days in between, so there was no, you know, there was kind of no issues of breaking rules or anything like that, but the lads went on a day at the races, and Finch won the players' pot, won about $2,500. So, and I think the great thing was that really pleased Andrew Gale was that he gave quite a bit of that money to Gailey and Jack Brooks for the end of season do, which was a great gesture, knowing that he wouldn't be at that do.
Jack Brooks is the social secretary, yeah, who was basically organising the end of season shindig.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, which is a frightening thought. Yeah.
So you know, he sounded like he was absolutely superb around the lads as well.
And that's what you need, isn't it? I mean, you don't need people just to perform on the pitch, which is obviously crucial, and that's what they live and die by, but they need to contribute off the pitch with the youngsters and with the kind of social side and be part of a team. And Yorkshire seem to be doing that really well now.
You kind of said before we came on air, didn't you, that had those occurrences that had happened with Finch, especially the first one, happened with somebody like Peterson, it'd be all over the back pages and he'd have been hung, drawn and quartered.
That's the first reaction that I had, was that, you know, depending, that to me, that is very good man management from Jason Gillespie, is because he can recognise he's got this bloke, this is how he is, right, we're going to treat him like an adult and treat him as he is, he's going to be a key part of our team, pat him on the back, let's get on with it. Some coaches would have taken offence at that and fallen out with that player and it would have been bust ups in the newspaper.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a famous story about Eric Cantona years ago when he was after he left Leeds and gone to Manchester United, and United used to have a very strict dress code, and they were at some sort of town hall event after winning the cup or something, and the players were told to dress in club suits, and he turned up in ripped jeans, flip flops, and a sort of bright T-shirt, and of course all the other players went up to Sir Alex Ferguson complaining about look what Eric's wearing, why aren't you finding him? And he said, when you lot can play as well as Eric, then you can dress in flip-flops.
And that is part, we're going back to kind of the first hour chat about the coaching structure and stuff, but part of the kind of coaching thing that sets coaches apart is recognising who they have, what makes people tick, and reacting accordingly.
Well, this is it. Some players are mavericks. Aren't they? Some players are different to it. Some players need a lot of structure, others don't. I knew Andrew Flintoff very well. He didn't like going through the hours and hours of analysis, etc. He was more of a free spirit. He liked hitting the ball hard and he liked bowling fast. And that was his simple game plan, really. Yeah. And he was best when he didn't worry about all technical issues and stuff, and he just ran in fast, and just if he saw the ball, he hit it. Shane Moore was another one. He didn't like a lot of analysis. He knew what his game, but others need it.
Can you imagine what somebody like Geoffrey Boycott would be like now with all of this computer technology and all of the feedback you get from that?
I think someone like him would like that.
Yeah,
I think he would like looking at his game and the technical side of it. But other players don't respond to
that. But he'd be at the ground at 6 in the morning doing it, wouldn't he?
Yes, he would.
You just get the feeling, that, don't you, that if Finch was English, he wouldn't get anywhere near the England side.
Because it'd be too much of a loose cannon.
But yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, I remember in one of my books with Andrew Flintoff talking about Peterson, because he'd just come into the side, and Flintoff said, he said, you can tell Peterson is self-taught. Because he wasn't made as a batsman, as a young player, he was a spinner. He taught himself how to bat. He says, and because of that, he has all these flicks and things which aren't in the handbook. And that's why he's such a good player, you know, because he's had to teach himself how best to score runs.
I mean, obviously, we're not coaches, but I mean, we watch enough cricket to kind of have an opinion on the game. That is something that is one of my theories. That you take a youngster who is raw and has all the kind of the different angles and funny body movements, but it kind of pings down at 95 miles an hour. You train him to bowl properly, so in inverted commas. You train him to avoid all of these stress fractures of the back and everything by remodelling his action like that, and then he's bowling at 70 miles an hour and doesn't quite make it. You can coach things out of people as well, can't you?
You've just described the early part of Jimmy Anderson's life.
Yeah,
it's exactly right. You know, Jimmy had quite a few. Had a bit of a kind of unique bowling action where he didn't look down the pitch. He looked at his feet and the ECB tried to coach it out of him. He got a few stress fractures, and thankfully he's come back and is now one of the best in the world.
Let's talk about another bowler from another county for a second. It's been announced this week that he's been awarded a benefit season with Durham County Cricket Club. Graham Onions, who is somebody on the county circuit who I have a massive admiration for. As soon as he gets thrown the ball, particularly when he's bowling against York,